All right, the recorder is on. In the Kindle, NTI Romans chapter 3 is on page 264. How about you guys? 264 in the book as well. All right, so here we go. NTI Romans chapter 3. Within your mind, reason is confused because you believe all that isn't true. You cannot truly judge at all because you know nothing on which to decide. Your world is a fantasy of beliefs based on experience created through judgment without basis. So we're going to go into this a little deeper in the next few paragraphs, but again, what he's reminding us of is, you know, in Romans chapter 2, we started off with, what if everything, you know, wasn't as it is? And then we decided that was a worthy question. And then we entered into a fantasy. And then based on our thoughts believed within the fantasy, we made decisions. And, you know, and eventually it became a complex web of decisions. But all of those decisions were based on fantasy. And so, and now we're caught up in a world, believing we're a personality, believing we have certain problems. Certain things are good, certain things are bad, certain kinds of people are good, certain kinds of people are bad, and believing all of it, and then trying to navigate through as safely as possible, making decisions. And he's saying, you can't do that. Because what you don't understand is, every time you make a decision based on fantasy, you're actually just going deeper and deeper and deeper into the fantasy. You know, and that's not where safety lies. You know, or and there really is no such thing as safety, because there's no such thing as threat. But there is what you could call knowledge of your eternal security. Right? And it doesn't lie by going deeper and deeper into the fantasy. So we can't really judge at all because we don't know anything about what's true. Everything we believe is not true. All right, so starting with sentence 4. Again, let's look at its beginning, meaning the fantasy's beginning. You asked, what if everything was different than it is? That was an impossible question, pure fantasy. But then you judged the fantasy as if it was real and decided through judgment that it was. This judgment did not make the unreal real. It only enlivened fantasy within the mind. Then you judged yourself for what you did not do, and you began the expression of guilt. Every option and every judgment that came from this was an option or judgment based on fantasy. And so it resulted in additional layers of fantasy. Nothing outside fantasy has ever changed. Everything that is still is as it is. You are inside a place that isn't. None of it is true. It has no basis. There is literally nothing there to judge. And in fact, this is a point that's made really, really well in the teachings of Inner Ramana, where Inner Ramana really focuses on surrender as an important part of the spiritual path. Again, not because you have to surrender to some God in order to get God's approval, which is what a lot of people think surrender is about. The surrender is merely teaching yourself to listen to intuition. You know, and when you teach yourself to listen to intuition, when you train yourself to listen to intuition, what happens is intuition becomes more and more and more clear. And as intuition becomes clear, you find yourself in a position at some point where you don't have to make decisions anymore. Because intuition guides everything. What to put on, what to order from the menu, where to go now. I mean, you're just like on this flow, this intuitive flow. And when you're on the intuitive flow, you no longer have to make decisions with the thinking mind. And the difference between intuition and the thinking mind is that when the thinking mind makes a decision, it is still believing the fantasy. And it's still making judgments like, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea, you know, and so it's going deeper into the fantasy. Intuition allows you to live within the experience of the fantasy without going deeper into it. It actually allows you to begin the undoing process by not using your mind in the judgmental way. That's the real purpose of surrender. And that's the purpose of asking an inner Ramana. It has questions like, what am I to do now? How am I to see this? What am I to think now? How am I to respond? And what you're really doing is you're asking your intuition those questions. And so when you ask your intuition and then your intuition provides an answer, you don't have to go through the traditional judgmental thinking process. So it's a way to bypass that process and still survive in a world that you appear to be in, right? Verses 9 to 20. This world is based on a misperception of guilt, but it is not based on sin. The sin that you judged yourself for was the sin of making what isn't. But what isn't cannot be made, and so you have not sinned. The guilt that you feel and believe and express is all a part of the fantasy. You only feel it and express it because you believe it, but your belief doesn't make it true. One thing that was really interesting for me, before NTI came, I was a course student for about 13 and a half months. I'd been a course student for about 13 and a half months. And what I thought I got out of the course, and I'm not saying this is in the course, because, you know, we can interpret it wrong, right? What I thought I got out of the course was that there was this guilt, as if this guilt was a real thing. And that what I had to do somehow was, like, get rid of this guilt. Like it had piled up inside of me. And until I got rid of the guilt, I was not healed. What this is saying is there's no real guilt. There's only your belief in guilt. That's a completely different statement. That's a completely different statement. And I didn't get that from the course. So this was completely new for me. And somewhere inside of me, even though at this time I didn't let go of the belief, letting go of the belief came later, but somewhere inside of me, that started me in a different direction. I can't even quite tell you how, but it started me in a different direction in that I wasn't trying, isn't the right word, but I can't think of another word. I wasn't trying to let go of actual guilt anymore. I was only trying to let go of believing in guilt. So it's kind of like setting me on a different path. God is the knowledge of truth. God is the absence of fantasy. God is forever because truth is forever. And God's truth is within you. Nothing real has ever been lost by imagining something different. Now, NTI does kind of define God. It's not, you can't truly define God, but it kind of defines God a few times. And this was also probably important for me because, of course, I had a fantasy about what God was. And although I never really imagined God as the old man in the sky, you know, it didn't have that much of a personality to it, I did imagine God as an other divine personality that somehow had some kind of authority and bossiness about it and the ability to judge and it had to be pleased and you know, all of that. So, you know, the first time that NTI really defined God was in Acts, and it defined God as life, just life itself. And it told us in Acts that we can't be separate from God because right now we live, right? Now it's giving us another definition of God, and it's saying that God is the knowledge of truth. God is the absence of fantasy, and that it's forever and that it's within us. So that means that somewhere inside of us, right now, there is absolute clarity. Right now. And that's also very, very interesting because, you know, most of us, when we start this spiritual path, we start this spiritual path thinking, I am not enlightened, I have to become enlightened. What this really means is you actually are enlightened right now. You're just not paying attention to or listening to your own enlightenment. But it's there absolutely complete right now. You don't have to become enlightened. And in fact, A Course in Miracles, using completely different words, says the same things. It says that love cannot be taught, right? It says your role is to seek for the blocks to love's presence. Doesn't that mean that love is present now? Right? So it's an absolutely true statement that each and every one is enlightened.
But don't we also say that when we say we already know, we just have to remember?
Yes, that's another way of saying it. Yeah. And what happens also, as we become more and more aware of our own enlightenment, we actually, even though it's not like you become an idiot, I think sometimes people think that as you become enlightened, you become an idiot and you start seeing everybody else at some level of enlightenment that isn't happening with them right now. That's not true. If I'm enlightened and you're sitting here totally confused and believing some problem, I can see that. If I couldn't see that, how the heck could I help you, right? I can see that, but what I can see is that it's not true. I can see what you're just believing. And I also am totally aware of your enlightenment and clarity that's just under the surface. And I know you just need a little bit of maybe guidance and help to get rid of that belief so that clarity can pop into your consciousness, right? I don't have to teach you clarity. In fact, I also know I can't teach you clarity. That's the most ridiculous idea in the world. I can maybe give you faith in your own clarity, help you trust that it's there, and that, you know, if you can practice forgiveness or self-inquiry or whatever, that you will become more and more aware of your own clarity. But it's already there in each and every person, whole and complete, and there's nothing to obtain. So that's another definition of God, is that perfect, untouched knowledge that has never become confused. Since truth is within you, the way out of fantasy lies within you also. This is the good news of you. To return to your truth, complete and pure and innocent, all you need do is unweave your way out of fantasy. You reverse the laws that made it by ceasing to play the game. You let go of judgment, and here again the word judgment means decision making, right? Believing thoughts, judgment's more than just good or bad here. You let go of judgment and all perceived guilt. You no longer believe what isn't true. When that which makes fantasy is let go as a practice, which again is your decision making process, when that which makes fantasy is let go as a process, the fantasy begins to fade. As the fantasy fades, the light that is truth shines through. Then you will follow the light to your home, which is back to the awareness of truth without fantasy, which is back to all that is true. So you see, your home is actually within you. It's your awareness of truth without any fantasy. That's home. That's heaven. That's God. Right? So it's really interesting. What NTI Romans is clearly telling us is that the best thing we can do is to practice, give willingness to, learn to, let go of decision making. Of thinking and making decisions. Because thinking and making decisions is the key problem. Therefore, as we learn to let go of thinking and making decisions, we're unweaving our way. It's like reversing the action. And this, again, is why following guidance, finding intuition, that's why that is so important. Because you do, as far as I know, still have to somehow operate in this world. I mean, I haven't found my way out yet. You know? And so you have to learn to get in touch with that intuitiveness in you that just guides you in what to do. And some of the blocks to finding that intuitiveness, one is believing that you could be right or wrong. Right? I remember some of my early prompts when I was learning to be intuitive. One of the ones I really remember was I asked within, what am I to do now? Because again, you're just teaching yourself, when you do that, you're teaching yourself to tune into intuition instead of thinking about it. So thinking about what I'm going to do now, you ask yourself, right? It's that simple. So I asked, what am I to do now? And the first thing that came was mow the lawn. Well, to be honest, the lawn had to be mowed, so that wasn't a ridiculous idea. But then that, you know, spiritual confusion came in, that spiritual ego came in. Would Holy Spirit tell you to mow the lawn? You know, and now I'm in this paralyzed situation. But if I'm supposed to learn to rely on intuition for everything so that I don't have to think at all, wouldn't intuition have to tell me to mow the lawn? Sure. It's going to have to tell me every little detail. It's going to have to help me, you know, it's going to have to let me know what to cook for dinner, when to mow the lawn, you know, when to feed the dog, when to, you know, just everything. It's going to have to tell me how to answer a question. And what I've experienced is that it does. And I think one of the greatest obstacles that runs around, at least within the Course community, is that belief that, and it's, in a way it's true. I'll talk about how in a way it's true in a moment. But it's that belief that Holy Spirit won't guide you in those things. And if you have that belief that Holy Spirit won't guide you in those types of things, then you also naturally fall back on your traditional thinking and decision-making process, which is what weaves the fantasy.
I would just say, it also seems like a gargantuan task to, it seems that way.
Yeah.
But really what I recognize is it's just my unwillingness to be completely free.
Yeah, amen.
That's all it is.
Because we're only talking about your own intuition. Another thing that really blows people away with this is that even if they do think, okay, well, Holy Spirit will guide me in everything, they then think, but I'm this lowly me, Holy Spirit's this divine that, and I'm too low to hear it. Or, you know, they have some kind of belief like that that gets in the way. You're only asking, for now, you could say, Tom is asking for Tom's intuition. Tom's asking Tom, what should I do now? Take a bath. Okay, I'll take a bath.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Tom does hear that.
Quite often.
Right? And again, we're talking about, I mean, occasionally guidance is really earth-shattering stuff, like, you know, move to Pueblo, you know? But I'm talking about the everyday mundane things. I'm talking about, in fact, somewhere in the Course it talks about letting go of ordering your own day. That's what I'm talking about. Let go of ordering your own day. Let intuition order your day. You may even still have an awareness of things that need to get done. I mean, I still have, like, I have an appointment with Tom tomorrow at 2. I have another appointment with somebody else at 11, another appointment at 3:45, another appointment at 7. Well, I'm not gonna sit around and freak out about, oh no, do I go to the appointment or not? Of course I'm gonna go to the appointment. And in fact, if you're listening to intuition knows you're gonna keep those basic commitments. You know, intuition knows you're gonna go to the bathroom when you have to pee. You're gonna eat when you're hungry. If you have an appointment, unless it's unusual, you're gonna go. I'm not gonna say you'll always go. There could be a time when an intuition is different. But intuition is very normal. Intuition is very ordinary. And it's expecting it to be something earth-shattering, something totally different, something completely alien that blocks it. Right? Expect the ordinary.
The part that always attracts me is when you read, like, in the Course in Miracles, that you don't have to do anything. That's what I want to do. I want to rest. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
That we're doing. And I said, oh, that is so attractive to me. Why do I not jump into it, you know, completely? Because that's what I want. I've been wanting that for a long time. Just, and then when you said that rat, you know, thing, I really work on that and try to, I'm saying this is exactly the same thing. My gosh.
Yes. It is resting. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. It's resting. And you may be very, very busy. But there's a resting in it when you're just following intuition and everything. It's a quietness. So again, you know, what I would recommend is that, again, learn, you know, that we spend the week learning just to tune into our intuition. But again, not expecting anything extremely unusual, not expecting the fantastic, not judging what you hear, just very basic. You're not listening to some strange out there voice that maybe you can't hear or you might hear wrong. You are asking your own inner intuition, what should I do now? You know? You're not, there's no approval or disapproval of you. It's just a way of acting without thinking, without judging, without saying, what do I want to do? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? What will she think if I do this? What will he think? It's just avoiding that whole process, right?
I was going to say, it's also takes a lot of the load off of the results.
Yes.
If you're just following instructions, do this. It's not Tom making a decision saying, geez, that's what I got to do, and I better get busy.
Yeah.
And I better succeed.
And I better be
successful.
And
better succeed. Right. Well, and in fact, an interesting example is this whole church building thing that we're doing now. You know, it's a monumental task on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, if we just let go and just follow the steps as the steps are put in front of us, it's just going to build itself. And you know, and that's the key for those of us who are involved in it, is just to let it build itself. Just, you know, keep following the moment-to-moment intuition and the moment-to-moment do this now and take one step at a time and just watch it happen. Even though it appears to be happening through us, watch it happen. With no attachment to outcome, but still following guidance, right? It's a great opportunity to learn that you can appear to be doing a lot, while in reality you're doing nothing. Yeah. And I was talking to Nikki, who is on our team today, and she was saying that, because many of us are kind of being thrown back into old business roles, like you're being thrown back into the lawyer, I'm being thrown back into kind of the director position. Nikki, I think she used to be like a manager, so she's probably feeling thrown back into that. I'm not exactly sure what role she was feeling thrown back into. But she said when this first started, her thought process was, I can't do that. I can't go back to that. And I had some of those same thoughts. I remember talking to you guys about that when we very first started, like, wow, this is the business Regina coming back. But what I learned is, no, those skills are being used, but that girl is not needed at all. That business Regina is not needed at all, right? And so it's interesting that some of us are being put back into old positions, but learning we don't have to go back to that old way of making decisions and that old way of getting things done. Thank God. Yeah, so it's kind of fun to do the kind of the same thing
without the role.
Without the role in a new way. Yeah. So that's the end of NTI Romans chapter 3. So if you guys are okay with it, I would recommend this week just putting a little bit of attention into tuning into intuition a little more. You know, no matter how well we are at it, there's always that space for fine-tuning. Also, maybe notice when your mind thinks it has to make the decision. It doesn't think intuition can do it. Start noticing that. And again, you don't even have to do anything else but just notice it. Oh, look, the mind thinks it has to do this. So I'll go ahead and close up the recording, and we can have a few moments of silence, and then we'll talk about this.